Everybody driving for the first goal. There's power play. Drives it.
Islanders country, hello and welcome to the Isles Blog Podcast. I'm Joe Bono. A reminder, you can follow the entire team on Twitter at Isles Blog, and you can subscribe to the podcast via iTunes or listen at nyislesblog.com. Our guest today scored 145 goals in his 6 seasons on Long Island, first from 1997 to 2002, and then again during the 2003-2004 season. He was an All-Star in 2000 and had four 25-goal seasons in his 12-year NHL career. He joins us from his home country, Poland, and that is Mariusz Czerkawski. Mariusz, Joe Bono for the Isles Blog Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Mariusz, you weren't the first Polish player to play in the NHL, but you had the most decorative career in your country's history. What were the opportunities like growing up and playing hockey in Poland in the 1980s? I'm sure there were many difficulties.
It was pretty tough. Everybody knows in the 80s there's a lot of, you know, still communism in our country until 89. And obviously when I was 7, 8 years old, it was pretty tough to get even a pair of skates. So my parents had to, looking through some friends and you know, get one of those through them. And obviously they were a little bit too big, but I was still very happy. So, you know, there was tough times, difficulties, but at the same time, we didn't have much else except, you know, having a good time and going out and play and doing a lot of sports, different obviously sports. So, but you know, hockey was the one that I really loved the most, and that's why I guess I stuck with it.
And who were some of the role models you had in your home country or elsewhere that you looked up to and tried to emulate at such a young age?
There were some obviously local hockey players. One of them was Henry Groot. He was, you know, my favorite. He was defenseman, actually, but, you know, I was forward. But, you know, his technique and the way he skates and passed the puck and had the vision of the looking for you know, players and see things and technical-wise how he carried the puck and even sometimes when he was going against the goalie, he knew how to make a move and score a goal. So yeah, definitely Henry Groot, you know, four-time Olympian for Poland and most hockey games for the national team, one of most in Europe, I guess. It was a guy that I was looking up to, and fortunately enough, when I was 16, I joined the club and played the highest level for GKS Tychy, the highest level of competition. So he was on the team that time. He was 36, and I was 16, and you know, I could play with him, and that was really really special for me.
We're talking with Mariusz Czerkawski. Before the Islanders, there were two other stops in your NHL career. First, how did you find out the Boston Bruins had taken you in the fifth round of the 1991 draft? Was that a surprise, or was Boston a team you felt was interested in you?
It was special, obviously. In 91, I was in Sweden. Actually, in March 91, I moved to Sweden. I went to a hockey team called Djurgården Stockholm, and I guess, you know, both scouts from the Swedish hockey team and the Boston hockey team, they were at the Junior European Championship in Örnsköldsvik, north of Sweden, where actually Peter Forsberg is from, and Marcus Näslund. So they were in age, actually. We were the same, pretty much the same age. And the European Championship, same time when Jaromir Jagr and Pavel Bure was playing there. The Polish team was playing there as well. And lucky enough, I end up in scoring title on a third place after Jaromir Jagr and Pavel Bure. And I guess that opened eyes for everybody in the stands, because I scored 7 goals against the Germany team. And I guess that put, and I had one assist. We won 8-7 7, I think, or 8-6, and I had this 8 points and 7 goals and 1 assist. And I guess those numbers put me up there with those guys. So I guess after that, you know, Boston decided to take a chance, and obviously I passed the test in Djurgården, Stockholm. Went there for a few days and practiced with the guys. And they signed me for a 3-year deal. So I was locked for 3 years in Stockholm, but at the same time I was drafted in June 91 for Boston. And a year later, actually, I went for a couple of days and played some exhibition games, but then I came back to Sweden and played last my 2 seasons in Sweden. And then 94, I joined the Boston.
So you make your debut playing 4 games during that season with the Bruins, scoring twice and adding an assist. What was it like making your debut in the NHL on a team that had Ray Bourque, Cam Neely, Adam Oates, and others?
That was great. I was hoping Brian Smoliski can talk Polish to me, but he couldn't. he didn't know a word. So fortunately enough, I had Joseph Stampel. I could talk a little bit Slovak with him, and Polish and Slovak is a little close. I enjoyed the team in end of March, I think, because it was the beginning of April in 94. That was right after the season was over in Sweden. We lost in the playoff in semifinal against a team with Peter Forsberg on that team that time. And it was pretty tough to beat them then. And I joined the team. So it was, you know, it was actually end of the season that I played those last 4 games. I was pretty excited. It was very, very new for me, and wasn't easy to get on those small rinks, especially in Boston Garden. I mean, very small rinks coming straight from Europe, and never played, you know, except a couple exhibition games a couple of years before in those small rinks. But I never played in Boston Garden, so obviously, you know, that was a little shocking for 19 years. You know, I was 22 that time, and really looking those guys up in the locker room, like I said, Cam Neely, Ray Bourque, and I end up in the same line with Adam Oates, was very special, and something that I'm going to remember the rest of my life. So I was very excited. And then those playoffs, obviously playoffs against Montreal Canadiens, that was really something.
In 1996, you're traded to Edmonton in a deal for goalie Bill Ranford. Every player says they understand that it's a business. But still, what was it like for a young player to be traded in the middle of a season, still not very familiar with North America as a whole, and now having to go play up in Western Canada?
Yeah, very, very cold. And really, you know, Edmonton in 96 was... I was young, pretty young team, I guess, at that time when they were trading those guys away. Obviously, we got Jeff Norton on defense and Cujo as a goalie, Curtis Joseph. But, I only heard about trades, and I knew some guys come and go, but I thought, you know, as a player, you don't think your time is coming. So, especially my parents came to Boston for... you know, a few days, and I think right after they land, a couple of days later, I had to be traded, and it went quick, to be honest with you. I didn't, you know, in Europe, obviously, it doesn't work that fast, everything, but NHL is NHL, so I just get the word one day, and the next day, I get the plane tickets, and I sat on the plane to Edmonton, landed there, middle of nowhere, I thought, that time, obviously coming from Boston. And I never played against Edmonton, and I never been in Edmonton yet in my life, because obviously when I joined the 94 this season, then obviously next year was the lockout year, so we didn't play against another conference, so I never went, you know, from Boston to Edmonton. And then year after, the 96, I get traded. We didn't have a chance to play against Edmonton yet. So that was my first time ever landing in Edmonton, and that was that time when I was traded. So it was a little bit difficult, but I actually liked it. I liked it a lot, and we had a good time, and we had some good runs against Dallas and those games. And you know, it was a couple good years for me in Edmonton.
Isles Blog Podcast, Joe Bono chatting with Marius Tchaikovsky. Now, the Islanders get you in what has to be one of their better trades in franchise history for Dan LaCouture. Islanders were in the midst of a very tough period. The John Spano situation had just played out with ownership. What were your initial thoughts on coming to Long Island?
I was happy. I mean, I was giving it a chance. I thought it was going to be a great team, and I thought we were actually going to do better than we did. Obviously, you remember those times in 97, 98. We had an 8-plus forward, I think 8 or 9, that scored 20-plus goals that time. You know, Palfe, Reichel, Smolensky, we had a lot of guys, Green, Bertuzzi, but we couldn't do good, and obviously, you know, after 60 or so games, the coach gets fired, and things, you know, changing, and then obviously another sell to another ownerships, and that didn't go through, and then there was another fire sale. So it was a couple of tough years, but at the same time, you know, Well, you know, the fans stick with us, and we will try to do our best and do the best we could, you know, to play well. But we couldn't make, you know, playoffs in a couple of years, and that was tough. You know, even if you play well, you play individual well, but if the team doesn't succeed, I mean, it's not the same.
Marius, in your first 4 years, you have five coaches: Mike Milbury, Rick Bowness, Bill Stewart, Butch Goring, and Lauren Henning. Then in 2001-2002. Peter Laviolette, a first-time NHL coach, comes in. The team makes the trades for Michael Pekka, Alexei Yashin, claim Chris Osgood off waivers. Did you realize right away that season would be different, that the team was a playoff team right from the start?
Yeah, everybody was hoping, and everybody thought that's going to happen, and that actually happened. But obviously we did lose in, I think, first round or second round. I think first round against Ottawa. Ottawa was, you know, pretty much on fire at that time, too. So, but we made a playoffs, and obviously the fans came back to the building, and the building was packed, and there was a lot of good games that we had, and I remember those playoffs against Toronto and those games in Long Island. You know, that time really was really fun to play, and you know, unfortunately we couldn't do more for different reasons, but. Finally, we start playing well, and we made the playoffs every year when I was there.
Laviolette now has a Stanley Cup, has taken another team to the finals, having a great season in Nashville. What kind of coach is Peter Laviolette? He seems to get a lot out of his teams wherever he goes, although his stays may be short and he might outstay his welcome a little bit. He seems to get immediate results.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, he's a tough coach. Like you said, he was young that time. I remember a little bit when I was beginning of 90s in Boston. He was playing for Providence that time, and you know, he only made like 2 or 4 NHL games, I guess. He couldn't break through as a player, but he did really a good job as a coach, and obviously addition of him helped us at least first couple of years, and then he really showed when he changed the fire from Islanders. After that, he really became even better and get some Stanley Cup and coach some good teams. So he was really a big impact. He had big impact on the team, obviously.
Now, you end up getting traded to Montreal at the age of 30 for Aaron Asham. Played 43 games that season, just 5 goals, 9 assists. But the next year, when he come back to the island and again put up a 25-goal season, what was it like leaving the Islanders and then being welcomed right back and getting right back to your scoring ways so easily?
Yeah, I obviously didn't really, you know, expect that trade. I was actually, you know, in my hometown in Poland, and I get a phone call that I'm getting traded. And, well, you know, I couldn't do much about it. Obviously, coming to Montreal, I really... big hockey town and a lot of expectations and a lot of different players and different languages and, you know, all the stories about this, you know, French, Canadians, Europeans, things, meeting and the coaches and who's going to play, who's not going to play. And obviously I had a tough time. And I think I didn't get the fair chance from Terrien at the same time. But I saw that next year when I scored 5 goals in the, you know, the season for Montreal. Like you said, in 40-some games, I scored 5 goals as soon as I get back from Montreal to Islanders again. I was happy about this. My first 5 games, I think I scored 5 goals. So things turning, and that showed that I didn't forget how to play. I just couldn't get the opportunity, and I got that opportunity and scored 25 goals for Islanders next year. So that was really big for me. And obviously, when you're 30-plus, you're still wondering if this guy is good enough or not. But then, unfortunately, came lockout, and things changed again. And obviously, I went back to Europe, and too bad because the season never started.
Marius, what do you remember about the 2000 All-Star Game, playing for the world team representing your home country, Poland, and the New York Islanders?
Oh, it was great. I get this, the word that I'm going to be representing Ireland in Tampa Bay, and Boots Goring told me that I get selected to NHL All-Star team, and it was great news for me, and obviously, first time ever Polish player ever playing game like that, and I still answer the question about this in Poland or wherever I go, and I didn't know that's such a big deal, but at the same time it was a great experience, and I had a good season that time, scored a lot of goals and had 70 points, memory for life.
Couple more questions with Marius Tchaikovsky. This is the final season at the Nassau Coliseum. Obviously, never had all the amenities of some of the new buildings, but the best years of your career were played there. What's your thoughts on this being the final season at the Coliseum?
It's unbelievable. It's getting to the end, but I have great memories. Obviously, played there for 6 seasons, and the fans and the way around and people around and. The friends I make there, and I play with a lot of guys. But at the same time, you know, for us that ring was a home rink, and we felt good there. You know, good ice, and really when people were telling us we could hear that, and we felt great. So it's going to be interesting how it's going to be in the new rink and how that going to go, but definitely Nassau Coliseum for me. Going to stay for me forever.
And Marius, tell the fans what you're up to in retirement. I know you play a lot of golf, have a pretty low handicap too to be proud of. What's life post-NHL for Marius Tchaikovsky right now?
Yeah, unbelievable, actually. I live in Long Island, and I've never been in a golf course, actually. I never played golf when I was living in the States, and I just started playing 5 years ago. Obviously, I retired from hockey in 2008, so it's 7 years from now. So a lot of time there's golf. My handicap is going low, but stays around four the last 2-3 seasons. So I went down pretty fast, but now I hit the wall a little bit, so I got to work a little harder. Short games, practicing and putting. And that's a lot of fun, actually. But like I said, I'm thinking about, wow, what such a golf course as you have in Long Island. I never played there, so I have to come back and play a few games there. At the same time, actually, right now in February, I'm doing Tchaikovsky Cup for young kids. We have a tournament here in Warsaw. On the big stadium, football, soccer stadium. So there's an ice rink there, and I'm bringing around 160 kids and from 8 teams, 8 different cities. We do that, and then doing other activities for kids, for children on the ice. We're teaching them how to skate with my group of coaches that I have, and I have this foundation, Sport 7 calls, and doing a lot of stuff during the winter and hockey time. Obviously, I was helping our Polish TV with. I was in Vancouver in Olympic, and I was in Sochi Olympic, and sometimes I'm color commentating in the hockey games during the season and during the World Championship, and like I said, it's Olympic Games, so that was fun. Some business, obviously, you know, there's some opportunities coming here and there, some real estate, but other than that, you know, I have a boy. My daughter is 17 years old now. She lives in Los Angeles, but I have a son with my wife now. So he's going to be 6 in May. So try to, you know, keep up with him. Play a lot of hockey, playing inside home. He wants to be a hockey player, but he doesn't know yet if he wants to be a goalie or not. But we'll see what's that going to be.
Well, if he could stop Dad, he could be a pretty good goaltender, I imagine.
Yeah, but Dad doesn't shoot so hard, you know. Not right now, I'm pretty soft on him. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But like I said, I have a good life. Can't complain. I have quite a bit of time as well. Like I said, if you can play golf and be around 3 handicap, that means you have some time to practice.
Well, Marius, that's great work you're doing in your home country of Poland to move the game of hockey forward. Definitely you need to come back to Long Island, though, and play Bethpage back and see how you can do on that court.
Yeah, exactly. So I have to start practicing now, I guess.
Marius Cherkowski, 2000 All-Star for the New York Islanders, 145 goals as an Islander. Thank you so much for your time, and best of luck moving forward.
Yeah, thank you. Best of luck for you guys. I know you guys playing good, so I'm watching.
You've been listening to the Isles Blog Podcast. Visit nyislesblog.com for an archive of the show or subscribe to the podcast via iTunes. Follow the team on Twitter @IslesBlog and send comments to nyislesblog@gmail.com.